This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll begin this week's show with Let George Do It and his story from September 6th, 1948, titled The Impatient Redhead. After that, it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and The Rifle Case, his story from June 28th, 1953.
Standard of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. The Impatient Redhead, another adventure of George Valentine.
Personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If you feel you're trapped and can't see your way on a loan, you've got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Dear Mr. Valentine, if this sounds like a letter to a lovelorn column, that's exactly what it is. I've been seeing a man for the last 6 months. I love him, and I can swear he loves me, too. I must know what it is that's keeping him from admitting his feelings. What is he afraid of? Is there a secret in his life he can't share with me? All this you must find out.
I must bring things to a head somehow. I shall be in my apartment at the Raleigh Towers all day waiting for you. And it's signed Blanche Legler.
Blanche Legler. Yeah, that'd be the daughter of the late beer baron, Otto Legler.
Sure, Legler's Lager, the brew with tradition.
Yeah, she must be worth millions, Brooksy. I wonder what does make this guy so backward about being forward.
Well, maybe the gentleman has a wife and four kids in Hackensack.
Well, there's no harm in talking to Blanche. No matter what happens, I bet you get a cold bottle of beer out of it.
Well, you know I'm dying of curiosity. But I've got to stay here and wait for that long-distance call you're expecting from Detroit.
Oh, well, now, don't take it to heart, Angel. Whatever Blanche Legler has to get fired, I'll let you have it in gaudiest detail. See you later.
Look at me, Mr. Valentine.
That doesn't take any effort at all, Miss Legler.
Oh, stop being coy. I don't need that reassurance.
Well, suppose you stop quarterdecking up and down. Then maybe we can find out just what you do need.
All right. Maybe you've read some things about me in the paper. I make good copy. They say my father spoiled me. And I'm used to getting what I want.
Words to that effect.
Vicente Montoya is something I want. I know he loves me. I can feel it. I can see it in his eyes. But what happens? All I get is that continental charm and gentility until it almost makes me sick.
Sit down, Miss Legler.
I can't. I'm too nervous. I've done everything but get down on my knees to propose to Vicente.
Miss Legler.
Let's make it Blanche.
All right, Blanche. Now, aside from the glint in his eye, how do you know you're the only woman in his life?
Oh, I know there have been others, George. One after another for a year, and all of them redheads.
Well, that's very interesting. You're right in the tradition, Anna.
Yes, there was a parade of redheads. Every night a different one, sitting with him at the same table in the Oval Room of the Stafford Hotel. But for the last 6 months, I've been the only one.
Well, Blanche, maybe you're playing it wrong. It might be a good idea if you were on the defense. Play hard to get, instead of leading with your left.
Oh, don't be naive, George. I've tried being elusive and oh, so very feminine. That doesn't work either.
I see. Well, from what you told me, this Vicente character is an exceedingly polished gentleman, son of a Spanish marquis and stuff.
So what? Take another look at me. Is it such a come-down for him to marry me?
Okay, Blanche, I admit the odds are with you, unless the man is blind.
Thank you.
But I'll be equally frank. Thawing out male icebergs isn't exactly my racket. Never snooping into people's private lives, except when they've definitely strayed from the straight and narrow.
Can't you use a big fat fee?
Oh, sure, always. But not if it's going to make me unhappy with myself.
But suppose I can assure you it won't be snooping.
I bet you're good at cryptograms.
I'll show you what I mean. Here, in the drawing room.
Blanche, what is it? I received your call and...
Do you realize, Vicente, this is the first time we've seen each other during the day? It's always been the Oval Room at night.
That is no matter. Is there anything wrong?
Oh, this is Mr. Valentine, Mr. Montoya.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Vicente, this seems to be the day for frankness.
Como?
I hired this man to find out what it is that stands between us, darling.
You did this, Blanche? Why? Why?
Now, look.
Oh, come now, George. You can't call it snooping when we put all our cards on the table.
That you did this is very unfortunate, Blanche.
Well, what did you expect me to do? Do you think I sat there all those evenings just to sample all the rare wines you ordered with such authority, or indulge in glib conversation?
Please, Blanche.
Whatever is keeping you from saying what you feel I want to know? Bring it out in the open. I'll stand by you, Vicente.
Was there not a young man named Tommy Sloan? I should never have come into your lives, Blanche. Goodbye. Oh, Mr. Valentine.
Yeah?
I know Blanche's power of persuasion, but if I were in your place, I would not pursue this matter any further. It would bring no good to anyone, especially you.
What's that supposed to mean?
This just happens to be a day for frankness, as Blanche says. Adios.
Well, George?
Well, in his polite way, Senor Montoya carries a very big chip on his shoulder. I wonder what would happen if I knocked it off.
Why don't you?
I think I will, Blanche. We're in business.
If you must know, Miss Brooks, I bribed the maid. That's how I know Blanche called in Valentine.
Oh, you've got it bad, Mr. Sloan.
You're not wrong. I can't think. I can't work. I can't do anything.
Well, I don't know what to tell you until we find out what Mr. Valentine's decided to do.
Wait a minute. Miss Brooks, a woman's no different from a man.
Well,
I mean, you can tell when someone's meant just for you and you for him, can't you?
I think I can.
Well, that's the way it's been between Blanche and me for years, until Montoya came along. He isn't right for her, I tell you. They've got nothing in common. It's different between Blanche and me. We know how to laugh together, have fun.
All right, calm down, Mr. Sloan.
Oh. Well, anyway, will you give Valentine this message?
Yes.
Whatever he finds out about Vicente Montoya, I want to know, too. I'm willing to pay for it.
Well, I'm sure that will interest him a great deal.
And you can also add, Blanche will never marry Montoya, no matter what I have to do.
Yeah, Brooksy, that's very interesting about Tommy, but it's hardly news.
Well, you must have got around this morning, darling.
Yeah, and here's the net results. Vicente Montoya is the real thing. More money than he can live to spend. And his father is a Marquese, all right. And listen to the trimmings the old man can tag onto his name.
Yeah.
Grand Officer of the Spanish Legion of Honor, Grand Cross of St. Gregory the Great, Knight of Zaragoza, and so on and so on.
All of which leaves you where, Mr. Dorothy Dick?
Exactly, nowhere.
Well, what does this Vicente Montoya look like? What's his great charm?
Oh, I don't know. Call it breeding if you want, Brooksy. But he's handsome besides. Shiny black hair, distinguished. Walks as though he swallowed a ramrod. Oh, yeah. He knows the vintages of all the best wines.
Oh, poor Tommy.
And the final fact, which I'm sure Blanche already knows, Vicente lives with his father, the Marquise of Montoya, in the sumptuous suite at the Hotel Warwick.
Why don't you just let love take its course? Blanche will either wind up in a suburban cottage or a castle in Spain.
I know. But why the chip on Vicente's shoulder if everything is all sweetness and light? What? Hey, wait.
George, what are you doing?
Just looking at your hair.
Well, you've never looked at it that way before.
Now, look, Angel, this hurts me more than it does you. But you're going over to the beauty parlor and have those lovely locks dyed red.
George!
Huh?
I suppose you wonder why I had the head waiter ask you to come over to my table.
I was curious enough to join you, wasn't I?
I'm very grateful, Miss Brooks. Oh, Henri.
Yes, Signor Montoya.
A bottle of sherry. You know, the only year I think is worthy of a great occasion.
Oh, of course, sir.
The moment you walked in, I noticed your hair. It is truly very lovely.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not just making idle conversation, please, believe me. All the men in the Montoya family, as far back as anyone can remember, have chosen women who have red hair.
Oh, no wonder when I walked in you didn't take your eyes off me for a moment.
I only know of one woman with red hair more beautiful than yours.
I should get up and leave you, Mr. Montoya. No woman likes to think herself second best. Where's your gallantry?
I'm afraid I lost it, along with a great many other illusions.
Well, we're going to do something about that tonight.
When you came in, I thought you might be able to take her place. Make me forget, Blanche.
Blanche.
She is the only woman I ever loved. I'm giving her up.
Oh.
Sherry, senor. The way you like it.
Thank you.
Why did you tell me all this, Mr. Montoya?
Why? So you can run back and tell Mr. Valentine.
What did you say?
Red-haired coming to you, Miss Brooks. But I can see that it was dyed. Remember, I'm a connoisseur.
Okay. That leaves you the top man on the totem pole.
I beg your pardon?
Skip it. Just let me ask you a simple question. If you love Miss Legler, why are you so willing to give her up?
Why don't you tell Mr. Valentine? He will never find that out the day that I die.
You must excuse me, Mr. Valentine, but I'm really listening.
Okay, have it your way, Marquise, but I don't believe you.
Did you ever think, senor, that in a long life one learns much?
Yes, I know, but about your son?
One learns about many things. Now, these pistols, the largest private collection of Spanish dueling pistols in the world.
Congratulations.
I make it a point to spend an hour a day with them, oil them, polish them. See that they withstand the passage of time. But go on, senora. What were you saying?
All right, here it is. Your son is in love, but he won't dare admit it. Do you know why?
Senor, my son is not a simpering girl, and I'm not a dueña to watch over him every minute.
What is he afraid of? You ought to know. You're his father.
Strange about this pistol. The barrel hardly moves. Let's see.
You're holding out on me, Marquis. And I'm a pretty stubborn guy. Hey! Well, that almost took my ear off.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Senor Valentine. I was sure there was no bullet in that pistol.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for missing.
It does prove something, doesn't it?
Does it?
If you insist on handling something you know is dangerous, you can expect your head to be blown off. No es verdad, senor.
Oh, sure, you're so right, Marquis. And don't think I'm going to forget it.
Maria! Please show the gentleman out. He hasn't got all the time in the world. Goodbye, Senor Valentine.
Maybe we'll have another man-to-man talk again when you're not fussing with your pistols.
Senor, I know that which we're trying to find out. I've been with the Montoyas for very many years.
Why, Maria, I'm surprised at you. You've had your ear at the keyhole.
How much will you pay?
Oh, I have a very liberal client.
$500?
Could be.
My sister's grandchild. That money would mean he could go to the university.
When do we get to talk?
Later tonight. I live in a room at 28 Douglas Street. You will be there.
This ought to be room 6, Brooksy, over here.
Tomorrow I'm going to have the most expensive shampoo at Rudolph's. And put it on the office expense account.
Well, you're welcome to it, Angel.
I don't know if it's polite, George, but the door is open.
Yeah, so it is.
George, she's asleep. Maybe it'd be better if we came back in the morning.
Wait a minute, Brooksy. Even when people sleep, they manage to breathe.
But
now, wait. Let me see. Brooksy, Maria isn't asleep. She's dead.
Oh.
There's no sign of violence.
Maybe this empty bottle on the bed table means something.
I don't know, but this note here does.
What does it say, George?
When you will find me, I am dead. I know now I could not tell you the secret of the Montoyas and go on living in peace and honor, so I do this thing. Forgive me, Maria.
Return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment. Meanwhile, a word about wear. It's easy to keep the outside and inside of your car spick and span, but how can you keep the interior engine parts clean and efficient?
How can you save those expensive, tight-fitting parts from the wear caused by fast-forming carbon, rust, and acids? Engineers at Standard of California licked this problem by developing RPM motor oil. And they did the job so well that a recent survey shows Western motorists prefer RPM 2-to-1 over any other motor oil. Chemical compounds in RPM keep your entire engine cleaner. They protect hot spots left bare and exposed to wear by ordinary motor oils. They prevent costly rust, corrosion, and crankcase foaming. And that's why RPM, a premium quality motor oil, gives your car longer life at low-cost operation. Get it tomorrow at a Standard station or an independent Chevron gas station where they say, and mean, we'll take better care of your car. And now, back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. Well, a fiery, red-headed heiress hires you to find out all you can about a certain Spanish nobleman. He's what she wants. So, with some reluctance, you take the case, only to find yourself threatened with violence on all sides. What's more, the faithful old servant of the Montoya family prefers suicide to revealing the secret that you know is there. But being as stubborn and curious as George Valentine, you pay a visit with Claire to the old Marquise of Montoya.
I don't know if I want to talk to you tonight, Mr. Valentine. Miss Brooks.
Sorry, Marquise, but you're going to have to.
May I get you a glass of sherry, young lady? I'll call Maria. No. Nobody will call Maria anymore. I cannot get used to the idea. You see, she has been in the family so many years.
Which just about brings us to the point, doesn't it, Mr. Montoya?
Yeah, there's no question that Maria committed suicide. But that's not enough for me. What made her do it?
What makes any of us do what we do with our lives?
In the note she left, she said something about not being able to live in peace or honor.
In our country, more important than bread and water, or even life itself, dignity and honor.
Marquez, you knew Maria was going to tell me whatever it is you and your son are trying to hide.
It is very little I do not know that goes on in this house.
Well, then let's not mince words. You forced her to kill herself.
That is very harsh, Mr. Valentine, and not true.
What is true, then?
I merely reminded her of the years we considered her a member of the Montoya family and the kindness we showed her. I never meant it to be more than a reminder. I never thought that she would go so far.
Uh-huh. But it was better for you rather than have a talk.
Think what you please, Senor Valentine. As far as that young man in Barcelona...
The one Maria wanted the money for?
The one she was willing to forsake all loyalty for, yes. I will take care of him. He will not want for anything. Maria can rest quietly. Oh, Vicente.
Yes, Father.
As you see, we have visitors.
I know. Miss Brooks, I'm sorry about that little fiasco I carried out in the oval room. Believe me, I am seldom that rude.
Oh, don't let it worry you, Mr. Montoya. I seldom walk around with blazing red hair.
There's really nothing more to say, Mr. Valentine.
Father, just a moment, will you? I have something to say.
Okay, let's have it.
The last time we met, I said something that may have sounded like a threat. I did not mean it that way.
Now, you know, this is getting rather awkward. Everybody being so sorry about everything. Why don't we just cry on each other's shoulders?
Mr. Valentine, I'm serious. I know you are interested only in the welfare of your client.
That's right, Miss Legler.
I realize that most of the fault is mine. You cannot monopolize any woman's time for 6 months without having her make certain obvious assumptions.
What are you driving at?
I give you my word as a gentleman that I shall never see her again. Marriage is completely out of the question. Therefore, the reason can't possibly be important. Would you tell Blanche that and forget the whole thing?
Well, confidentially, friend, I wasn't too happy with this case from the beginning.
Yes?
And if marriage is out of the question, I don't see the good I can do. Yeah, I'll speak to Miss Legler in the morning. And so that's how it is, Blanche. And I'm inclined to agree with Vicente. So
So how about dropping the whole thing?
Maybe the day after tomorrow. You'll think that's pretty good advice.
Since I was 4 years old, Miss Brooks, the only advice I've taken was my own.
I want to talk to you, Blanche.
Oh, tell me, what are you doing here? I told you we have nothing more to talk about.
We'll see about that. You're Valentine, aren't you?
That's the name the mother insisted on. It happened to be my father's name. Now, take it easy, will you, Thomas?
I spoke to Montoya after you and Miss Brooks left.
Vicente certainly had a busy evening.
Blanche, why don't you get it through your crazy little head? Vicente doesn't want you.
Why don't you mind your own business?
Slap me all you want. That won't change things. Isn't that what Montoya said to you too, Valentine?
Well, he was a little more suave about it.
Look at me, Blanche. I love you. It isn't something that happened just yesterday or 6 months ago. It's been there for years. And you love me, too. You told me. There's no changing that.
Oh, Tommy. Please go.
Okay, I'm leaving. But I'm never going to be too far away.
You know, Blanche, I think your friend Tommy has the right idea.
I remember you were saying you wanted to drop the case, George.
I said I thought it would be best.
I may as well tell you, I'll only hire someone else.
Well, there's no mistaking that, George.
No, wait a minute, Brooksy.
Changing your mind?
I still think somebody's going to get hurt in this deal. But as long as you're going to get a stand-in for me anyway, I may as well go along for the ride. Oh, now listen, friend. The Spanish news syndicate should know more than that about one of the most prominent families in Spain.
Perhaps, Mr. Valentine, but that's the only information that's available.
Professor Ortega, if there's anybody who knows all about Spanish history, it's you. There must be something about the Montoyas.
Forgive me, young man. I am not a gossip columnist. The historian deals only with the facts. And I gave you those.
Oh, Mr. Valentine, Miss Brooks, don't apologize. The writer is always looking for an excuse to knock off work.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. Wendell.
The truth is, my dear, I wasn't even working. I just sit here in front of the typewriter in case my wife comes in.
Okay, but what about the Marquis Montoya?
Fascinating old gentleman. Had lunch with him in Seville once. I'll never forget it. He never even cracked a smile.
Wendell, you've written enough books about Spain to be an authority.
Could there be anything about the Montoya family that they'd go to all this trouble to conceal? I mean, why would a man like Vicente Montoya turn his back on a woman who's beautiful and has a fortune?
Well, there is one story, but I don't know whether or not to...
What's that supposed to mean?
The Montoya line goes way back, even beyond the time when Columbus became America's first tourist.
Well?
It's hard to separate legend from fact, especially when it has to do with Spain. But there's supposed to be a curse on the Montoyas.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, hold on.
Now, don't look at it that way. There's more fact than legend. Ask a Spaniard about it, and you'll probably get nowhere. But it's all there in the records.
What's in the records? Oh, don't be so mysterious, Mr. Wendell.
Without being too descriptive, Miss Brooks, it seems there's been a strange creature popping up on the Montoya family tree every fourth generation.
Strange creature? What are you talking about, Wendell?
A stunted little beauty. Always about 3 or 4 feet tall, his feet end where the normal man's knees begin. And he never has a single hair on his body. The last one I remember being born was in 1828.
Oh, how terrible.
There's probably a very sound scientific reason for it, but I suppose it's much more romantic calling it a curse.
So that's it.
What?
Well, don't you see, Brooksy, that's why Vicente is afraid to marry. Afraid that this thing might happen again to his children or his children's children.
But it doesn't have to happen every fourth generation, does it, Mr. Wendell?
Miss Brooks, I am not an authority on eugenics or the laws of heredity.
Well, thanks a lot, Wendell. This calls for a final chat with the Marquise of Montoya. Just the two of us.
So you did find out, young man.
Oh, I get all kinds of jobs, Marquise. Some I like, some I don't.
Now you understand why it had to be kept a secret.
Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to leave it that way. I'll think of a good reason to give Blanche so she'll have no more questions to ask.
Gracias.
Suppose I say that Vicente has a wife in South America. I think I can even produce a fake marriage.
Could you do that, senor?
I thought you had a reputation for never smiling.
I know, but I never thought that a young man from a young country could have so much understanding, so much.
Well, it doesn't take too much understanding to know what you've gone through, Marquise. The courage and the iron will it took for you and Vicente to live with the Montoya curse.
One does what one has to.
But you're right about our leaving the country, Mr. Valentine. I have an estate in Argentina, Vicente, and I will leave for there as soon as we can arrange.
Yeah, yeah, I think that'll be best, and the chapter will be closed. Well, goodbye, sir. Good luck. And I mean that.
Adios y gracias, amigo. And I mean that, too.
All right, George?
As right as it can be, Angel.
Un momento. I must go downstairs and see you in the Nick Valentine.
Now, look, there's nothing to worry about, Vicente, so take it easy, will you? I don't know from nothing, and I'm really off the case now.
I do not believe it. What did my father tell you? I've got to come downstairs and find out.
Oh, Mr. Montoya, be careful.
I've got to know. Alistair!
Oh, George, he tripped.
Oh, wait, I'll help.
Don't look at me. I don't want anybody to see me this way.
George.
Now, you see me as I was born. There are my artificial legs. The wig.
Oh, no.
Now you have your answer. I am the fourth generation.
George, I don't think I'll ever forget the sight of Vicente Montoya scuttling up those stairs.
Well, why don't you try remembering that Blanche and Tommy are going to get married next week? That's a much heavier notion.
Yeah. You know something?
Hmm?
Well, speaking as a woman, I think deep in her heart, Blanche was happy when you came up with that whopper about Vicente having a wife.
I don't think that white lie will be held against me.
Oh, I'm sure it won't. But, George, when you were inside talking to the Marquise, you suspected the truth, didn't you?
Oh, Brooksy, it was a weird thought I didn't even want to admit to myself. But I kept thinking of Vicente's stiff, mechanical walk.
Yes?
And Wendell did say that last time this happened was about 1828. The next time it'd be around 1900, about the time Vicente was born.
Mm. You know, I think this whole thing was a horrible dream if you weren't standing right beside me.
Oh, but I am here, Angel. And you want me to show you how real that is?
Oh, you're so right.
Maybe you found after a lengthy motoring trip that a warm bath and a good sleep put you right back in shape. But don't forget, your car needs a little attention, too, after a long trip. In fact, every 1,000 miles, your car needs the expert lube service it can get at a standard station or an independent Chevron gas station. For these are the only service stations using RPM greases and oils. Each lubricant tailor-made to shield vital wear points from road dust, grit, moisture. Without proper lubrication, spring shackles and other stress points wear down unduly fast. And they make quite a rattle doing it. RPM oils and greases assure longer wear and quieter, softer riding. So when you're in a long trip and every 1,000 miles, ask for lube service where you know it's expert at an independent Chevron gas station or a standard station where they say and mean, we'll take better care of your car. Next week, when you tune our way for another adventure of George Valentine, you'll hear...
Well, here's just about everything on the case, except the receipt. Brooksy, I outsmarted myself and missed the boat.
But, George, Jeffries wouldn't break into his own desk to steal it.
That doesn't seem that he... Hey, wait, you know, Angel? Maybe I didn't miss the boat after all.
What do you mean?
Now, look, you get out of here fast, grab a cab, back to the office, but be sure nobody sees you.
But what about you, George?
I'll be back there in a few minutes. And, Brooksy, I'm pretty sure we'll have a visitor.
Tonight's Adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Let George Do It stars Robert Bailey as George with Francis Robinson as Claire. Tonight's story was written by David Victor and Herbert Little Jr. and directed by Don Clark. Also heard in the cast were Jay Novello as Vicente, Lorene Tuttle as Blanche, Pedro de Cordova as the Marquise, Ken Peters as Tommy, and Virginia Gregg as Maria. The music is composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Your announcer, John Heaston.
Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System. While the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective. Good evening. This is Bill Foreman speaking to you for the 10,000 independent druggists who have made the word Rexall part of their own store names. They've done that because they recommend and sell the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. This evening, we want to call your particular attention to Rexall's exciting two-page ad in this coming week's issues of Life, Look, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, and in the current issue of Farm Journal. One page is devoted to 10 great new health aids, developed and perfected in Rexall's world-famous laboratories, and now available at Rexall drugstores everywhere. The other page features 10 headline bargains, available all during the month of July, plus 53 additional values in Rexall money-back guaranteed products. So remember, for new and better health aids, for timely household bargains, be sure to check Rexall's sensational two-page spread in this coming week's issues of Life, Look, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, and the current Farm Journal. Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you a transcribed half hour with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond?
That's right. Come in.
My name is Hayden, Gustav Hayden.
How do you do, Mr. Hayden? Won't you have a seat?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
What can I do for you?
I would like for you to protect me for the next 2 days.
Protect you from what?
Well, maybe I should start at the beginning. By trade, I am a gunmaker. Before I was fortunate to come to this country, I worked in German. Do you mind if I smoke?
Go right ahead. He pulled out a very old hand-carved pipe and stuffed it into a worn leather pouch. He was a little man, a few inches over 5 feet. I guessed his age to be somewhere in the 60s. He talked of his home in Germany before Hitler had moved in with the stormtroopers. He told me about his wife and how she had died in a prison camp because she was anti-Nazi.
They allowed me to work because I was making a very advanced rifle. And Adolf could use such a rifle. But when he took my wife, I destroyed my blueprints and was myself interned in another prison camp. They tried to beat my secret out of me. I lived, somehow. Then the war was over.
Your pipe's gone out.
Oh, so it is. I hope I'm not boring you, Mr. Diamond.
Well, not at all, no.
I have a sister, Anna. I sent her to America before the trouble came. She's a widow and has one son. Perhaps you have heard of her son, Mr. Diamond, William Ehrlich?
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, you will. He's a lawyer. Someday he will be a very big lawyer.
You said you wanted me to protect you, Mr. Hayden.
Yeah. My sister, with the help of William, arranged for me to come to the United States. I was quite ill when I arrived, and they sent me to their summer cabin in the Catskills. I soon was better and took great pleasure in this place. So they have allowed me to stay at the cabin and make it my home.
See.
Willie even made for me a complete workshop at my disposal. And in the last 2 years, I've occupied myself with my old trade.
Making guns?
Yeah. I have finally produced my new rifle, Mr. Diamond. And someone has tried to steal it.
Well, if somebody's trying to steal it, you should go to the FBI or the police.
I think of that, Mr. Diamond. But it would involve my sister and her son. I'm not sure how good this rifle is until after I test it. and I don't wish to have my family involved unless the rifle is a good one.
Have you any idea who might have tried to steal it?
No.
How long do you want protection?
Only for 2 days while I test the gun, and then I want somebody to go with me to the right people so I may show the rifle to them.
Well, I charge $100 a day in expenses, Mr. Hyden.
I have no money, only what Billy gives to me each month for living costs, but if you will take a chance with me, Mr. Diamond, that the rifle is a success, I will see you are well rewarded.
And if the government doesn't want the rifle?
Like myself, Alter have lost such a time and effort.
Where's the rifle now?
In my shop in the Catskills.
Well, if somebody's already tried to steal it, aren't you taking a big chance?
Oh, that's a caretaker, sir. My nephew hired him when I moved in.
Where was the caretaker when the attempt was made to steal the rifle?
We were both asleep. I heard a noise in the shop and went out to see. Albert, that's the caretaker, heard it also. We both got to the shop about the same time. Whoever it was, we must have frightened him away. But someone had been there. The window was open and much of my equipment had been moved.
All right, Mr. Hyden, I'll gamble with you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Diamond, thank you. I'm going to see my sister now, but I will meet you at the ticket window 11, Grand Central Station, at 8 o'clock.
Well, look what just walked in.
Hello, Sergeant Otis. You're looking exceptionally well this afternoon. Had a haircut, didn't you?
Yeah. How's it look?
Doesn't it confuse your barber, working on two heads at once?
No.
Hello, Walt.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Diamond.
Want you to do me a favor, Fatty.
Rick, I've thought of everything. There's no way I can get rid of Otis and make it look like suicide.
Then do me another favor.
All right.
Check on a man named Gustav Heiden, German citizen. Been in this country for a couple of years.
What's it all about?
Confidential. Like to tell you, but I can't.
Okay, I'll see what I can find out for you.
Thanks. I've got to take a little trip tonight around 8. I'll be at home if you come up with anything. Hey, what the...
Diamond, all right. Pick him up and drag him over to the bed.
Sure. Okay.
Put him up on the bed.
A heavy son of a gun.
Wake him up.
Come on, wake up.
Here's one.
Hey, he's coming around.
Yeah, he's with us.
Okay. Now, don't try to get up, or we'll have to belt you again.
Oh, what's this all about?
We want the plans.
Oh, you do, huh?
And we're going to get them.
I guess I'm in a hole. I don't give you the plans. You work me over. Believe me, I hate to mention it, but I haven't got them.
Take off your coat, Max.
Sure.
Go over and turn on that radio.
Right.
Now, look, I told you
yeah,
that...
Yeah, I know. You don't have the plans.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
And remember, friends, there's a federal excise tax to pay on all television.
Get some music.
So bye now and...
Turn it up. Okay, come here.
You want me to take over?
Yeah. I'll keep the gun on you.
Oh, why, you jerk.
Lie down. Go on. Work on his ribs.
Okay. Hey. You better tell us.
Oh, you knuckleheads. I can't tell you if I don't know.
Oh, he's sure stubborn.
Hold it. Not a noise out of you, Diamond.
Blue Eyes, come on, open up.
Who is it, Diamond?
My brother-in-law.
Come on, Diamond. Get out of the sack. I got something for you.
You don't want him to get hurt, get rid of him.
Yeah, but he's got something for me.
Well, get it and tell him to beat it. Go on over to the door, but don't let him in. I'll be right behind you.
Okay.
Well, it's about time. Hey, what's with you?
Look,
I thought you...
Walt, tell Marge and the kids I can't come over. I'm busy.
What? Look.
And about the fur coat. Tell her I couldn't get it for under $4.18.
Huh?
Poor 18, and I don't want to get stuck with it.
Oh. Yeah, sure. I'll tell her.
You said you had something for me?
It'll keep. I'll give it to you when you got more time.
Sorry, but you know how it is. Business.
Sure.
Tell Marge I'm sorry. I couldn't come over.
I'll tell her. See you soon.
Hey.
Yeah?
What kind of a coat you buy for $418?
A beaver.
A beaver? Well, I could have gotten it for you for half.
Forget it. Over on the bed, Diamond.
Look, I swear, I don't know about plans or anything else.
We got a lot of time. Maybe after a little while you'll remember. Move.
All right.
Now, let's see. Where was I? Oh, yeah.
Come on, Diamond. The plans the little guy gave you.
Sorry, I wish I could help.
We know the guy came to your office an hour ago. If he didn't give you the plans, he told you where they are.
I had one customer in the office today.
Yeah, and what did he want? Max?
Look. It wasn't anything about plans.
What was it? Again, Max.
Max kept working, and I took it. For one reason, because I had to. For another, I knew Walt had gotten a 418 tip. In police code, that meant a slugging. It was sooner than I expected. I looked over at the open window at the back of the room, and there was Walt, looking in from the fire escape.
Come on, Diamond. I'm getting tired.
And I feel rested, huh?
Okay.
Drop the gun.
Wait, look out.
Rick.
Okay. Here. Get this guy off me, Walt.
Hey.
Oh, thanks.
Well, this one's had it.
You got both of them.
This one fried, and the other went for his. They're both dead.
Oh, turn off that radio, will you?
Okay. Why were they working you over?
Well, they wanted something I didn't have. Something they thought my client gave me this afternoon.
Gustav Heiden?
Yeah. You find out anything about him?
Well, nothing incriminating. Got a whole background on him here.
I'll read it on the way down to Grand Central. Heiden didn't want the law in on this, but with two men dead, as far as I'm concerned, that puts it right in your lap.
This coming week's issues of Life, Look, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, and the Current Farm Journal carry an important two-page Rexall ad. One page features 10 great new health aids, developed and perfected in Rexall's world-famous laboratories and now available at Rexall drugstores everywhere. The other page features 10 headline bargains good all during July. Here are just a couple of examples. Rexall 5X multivitamins, the tablets that are five times stronger than the established daily requirement of all vitamins with known minimum. Special introductory offer, 10-day trial size, a regular $1.79 value, free of extra cost, with the purchase of the regular bottle of 50. Stag Brushless Shave Cream, regular 50-cent jumbo tube, now only 25 cents, exactly half price. So remember, for new and finer health aids, for bigger and better bargains, be sure to check Rexall's sensational two-page ad in this coming week's issues of Life, Look, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, and the Current Farm Journal. And now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Well, this is it, Walt. I was supposed to meet him here by the ticket window.
Oh, where is he?
I'm Sam. This is ticket 111.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give him a few minutes. And we gave Gustav Heiden more than a few minutes. At 8 o'clock, we were still waiting. At 8:15, the train Heiden and I were supposed to take pulled out.
You stood up?
Yeah. Let's check with the ticket seller.
Pardon me, sir. May I talk with you for a minute?
Certainly. What can I do for you?
Police business.
Oh.
Did you notice a little man standing near this window? About 5'3", big bunch of gray hair, old brown hat and suit, button shoes.
Smoking a big pipe?
That's it.
Sure, couldn't help but notice him. Stood around for about 15 minutes.
See him leave?
Yeah, left with a man, big guy.
You remember what the big guy looked like?
I didn't pay much attention, just big.
What do you think, Rick?
I think we better look up Gustav Heiden's sister.
But what is this all about, Lieutenant? Gustav left for the train station an hour ago. He was going back to the mountains.
Now, it's nothing to be alarmed about, Mrs. Ehrlich. He just didn't take the train.
Are you certain?
We checked.
But I still don't understand. Mr. Diamond, what is your interest in my brother?
Well, he retained me this morning to protect him.
To protect him?
Protect him from what?
Well, Mr. Ehrlich, he said someone was trying to steal a new rifle he was developing.
A new rifle?
A gun he started designing a long time ago in Germany.
He never told us anything about it.
Well, I don't believe he wanted to involve you until it was all finished and tested. Mm. If it was a success, he was going to turn it over to the government.
He certainly kept it a secret. I helped him fix up a workshop, but I just thought it was to keep him occupied. An old man, you know, wanted to keep busy.
And Mr. Diamond, you think something's happened to him because of this rifle?
Well, maybe not. But if you hear from him, please contact Lieutenant Levinson at the 5th Precinct Police Station. Anna Ehrlich gave us the location of the mountain cabin where Heiden was living, and we left. Walt went back to the station, put out a description on the missing gunsmith, and I caught the next train for the Catskills. It was morning when I climbed off the train and hired an old car to take me the 5 miles back into the woods. 20 minutes of bumpy road, and I arrived at the cabin to be met by the caretaker. Thanks, driver.
You want something?
Yes, Mr. Heiden.
What did you want him for?
He's here.
Didn't you think he'd be?
I'd like to talk to him, please.
I don't know. He's in kind of a strange mood. Came in about 4 this morning, acting like he'd seen a...
Albert.
Yeah, Mr. Heiden.
Show the gentleman in.
Yes, sir.
This will be all, Albert.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mr. Diamond, what are you doing here?
I saw your sister.
You talked with my sister?
That's right.
Your face is bruised.
2 men beat me up.
Mr. Diamond, I did not meet you at the station because I changed my mind. I'm so sorry you made this long trip, but I have no need for your service.
No. What changed your mind?
I decided not to go on.
Hmm. Who was the man you left the station with, the big man? The ticket agent saw you.
Oh, he must have made a mistake.
This is police business now, Mr. Heiden.
Please leave.
I can't. I want to know what this is all about.
Please, please, I can't tell you.
I'd like to see your rifle, Mr. Heiden.
Mr. Diamond, I don't care what has happened. I cannot allow
you. Mr. Heiden, you might as well cooperate. If I leave here, I'll leave with you.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't know what that would mean.
Look, the 2 men who beat me up are dead. There's a dragnet out for you. Now, if you want me to help, maybe I can do you some good. It's up to you.
I must think.
Okay. But while you're thinking, I'd like to see that rifle.
Of course. I keep it locked in this closet. All that's left is to test it.
Beautiful. I'd like to fire it.
I have decided to tell you everything, Mr. Diamond.
And I'm glad.
You were right about the big man I was leaving the station with. He warned me to forget my dealings with you and not to call in the police. Then he drove me here and demanded the rifle and the plans. I told him the rifle was not nearly finished, but I gave him a set of blueprints and he left.
Then they've got the plans?
They have some plans. I expected something like this, and I drew up several sets of blueprints that will be no good to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what to do now. My sister and her son are in danger.
The first thing we've got to do is get a hold of Lieutenant Levinson and tell him I found you. You'll get your family an armed guard if necessary.
But we don't know who these men are, who they're working for. You can't guard my sister and nephew forever.
That's a matter for the FBI. We've got 2 dead bodies to identify. They might give us a lead. Oh, somebody just drove up.
We can see from this window.
Oh, you know the car?
Well, it looks like Willie's car.
Oh,
it is your nephew.
Oh, why did he come here? Billy!
Oh, Uncle Gustav, we've been worried sick. We couldn't wait to hear from Mr. Diamond, so I drove up. Mother's beside herself.
Oh, sorry, Billy, I should have notified
you. Mr. Diamond said you left the station with a man.
We'll tell you all about it on the way back, Alec. I've got to put in a call to the lieutenant and tell him to call off the dogs.
The telephone is in the other room, Mr. Diamond.
Thanks.
I'm sorry to make all this trouble, Billy.
I couldn't do anything else. What's this all about? Mr. Diamond mentioned something about a new rifle.
I was going to tell you, but I wanted to wait until I was certain of its performance.
But you certainly could have told me. I could have helped.
So was it, but... Is
hello?
Was no good, it was from your career.
Hello, operator.
Uncle Gustav, you think that would have made...
Operator.
What have for me after all you and Anna have done for me? Oh, Mr. Diamond.
Hey, the phone's dead.
What?
We've never had any trouble with it before. That's what I was afraid of. Where's that caretaker?
He was here a moment ago.
Albert! Albert!
Yes, sir?
The phone's dead, Albert.
Well, it was working all right a little while ago. I called the store and ordered some groceries.
Oh. Come on, you're going to show us those phone lines.
That's the phone line coming down from the trees. Over the house, right... Well, what do you know?
Yeah, the line's been cut.
What?
That's right, Mr. Hayden.
Mr. Diamond.
Now, just take it easy. Mr. Ehrlich, we're all going to pile in your car and get out of here.
Wait. Don't you see what this can mean? My sister's alone back in New York. You can't reach the police to give us the necessary protection.
Well, we certainly can't stay here.
We must. I can't take a chance on my sister's life. I will give them the rifle and the plans.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. If you give it to them, you don't think they're going to let you live, or for that matter, let any one of us get out of here alive.
I'm an old man. It doesn't matter.
Sorry. We're all getting into that car.
No, Mr. Diamond. I cannot.
Wait a minute, Diamond. In a way, he's right. My mother's life is important also.
I can appreciate that, Mr. Ehrlich. But we're only presuming she might be in danger. We know that your uncle is, and that rifle's too important.
I won't leave.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to, and I wouldn't like to use force. Now, come on, all of you get in that car.
Wait just a minute, Mr. Diamond. No one's leaving this cabin.
Look, Ehrlich.
You look.
Really? You don't have to use a gun.
I'm afraid I do, Uncle.
But you can't.
Shut up and get over there with Mr. Diamond.
Really?
Shut up, you old fool. Get over there.
You better do as he says.
But I don't understand.
It's not too hard to figure out.
Albert.
Yeah?
Go and get that rifle.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Go and get the rifle. Look, I'm the man you've been expecting.
You?
Of course. Do you think I would have hired you as caretaker unless I knew you were working with us? Now go bring that rifle.
Yes, sir.
Really? You are behind all this?
Oh, now, don't be so naive, Uncle. I've been with the party for years.
The party?
Certainly. You didn't think we were a bunch of thugs, did you?
There's a difference.
That's all right, Diamond. Enjoy yourself. You don't have too long.
I simply can't believe it. And Anna?
Mother knows nothing about it. She couldn't understand.
And Albert telling everything I did.
That's how they kept such close tabs on you, Mr. Hayden. They tried to get the gun first by stealing it. When you came to my office, they thought you had given me the plans and sent two of their strong arms to beat it out of me. That didn't pay off, so they had you picked up at the station. You gave the big man the wrong plans, and up came your sweet little nephew.
But why didn't Albert steal it? He could have many times.
Well, he'd have been the first one suspected.
Quite shrewd, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, yeah, I'm a dilly. You played it pretty cozy, too, Ehrlich. Even your own man didn't know you were running the show.
Here it is, Mr. Ehrlich. I brought some shells in case you wanted to see it work.
Good. Well, Uncle, I suppose you're just as interested in the performance of your rifle as I am. You can try it right here, Albert.
Yes, sir.
Pick a good target. Walk down the road about 100 yards and see if you can kill Mr. Diamond on the first shot.
Really?
Relax, Mr. Hayden. There's nothing we can do about it.
You are completely right for the first time, Mr. Diamond. Go ahead, Albert. Move away, Uncle. And if you try anything, Mr. Diamond, then I shall have to shoot you. Move away, Uncle.
No. No. I think I should stand with my friend.
Mr. Hayden, please.
I am sure they don't intend to let me live anyway.
Oh, on the contrary, Uncle. We were planning a long voyage for you. We know of a place that could use a man of your talents.
I see. I prefer to stand with my friend.
Very well. Albert!
Yeah?
Don't do it, Mr. Hayden.
After Mr. Diamond, Mr. Hayden.
Both of them?
First, Mr. Diamond, then my uncle.
Okay. It's good enough.
No, move further down. I want my uncle to see how good his gun really is.
Okay. But the first couple of shots might be off. This thing hasn't been zeroed in yet.
Mr. Hayden, please get out of the way.
Is it all right if I smoke my pipe?
Oh, certainly.
There's nothing like a good pipe and good tobacco. Did you ever see Germany before the war, Mr. Diamond?
No.
In the spring, beautiful. I used to take long walks and smoke my pipe. I can't complain. I have some wonderful memories.
You ever see Hell's Kitchen in the middle of the summer?
No.
Stinks.
It's okay!
Well, Mr. Diamond?
Get it over with.
That's fine. All right, Albert.
I hope to talk with you again, Mr. Diamond. Someplace.
You're a nice guy, Gus.
Mr. Diamond!
Oh,
I don't know. I'm still too scared to find out.
You're scared? I didn't know whether I could hit him or not. You made a fine rifle, Mr. Hayden.
Mr. Diamond, he shot Willie. He wasn't even trying to hit you.
Oh, I think I'd better sit down.
But I don't understand.
Oh, wait until good old Albert gets back here. I think you'll find out he's more than a caretaker, bless his little heart.
And good old Albert was a little more than a caretaker. His real name was Baxter, special agent for the FBI, working for the past 6 years as undercover man inside Ehrlich's organization. The last time I saw Gus, the government had accepted his rifle. He was smiling and smoking his old pipe. We talked for a long time, just like he had hoped we would.
This time of year, no woman wants to spend endless hours caring for her skin and makeup. Since you want the finest beauty care in the least time and with no nonsense about it, why not try the new Andelafil Cosmetics? Designed expressly for the busy modern woman, they give you the most for your cosmetic dollar and save time as well. There are no endless bottles and jars, no endless creams for different corners of your face and neck. Just one fine cream. The Ann Delafield All-Purpose Deep Cream. A day cream, cleansing cream, night cream. All creams in one. There are vitamins, too, for true beauty from within. And other lovely makeup aids tailor-made for you. Look for the fine Ann Delafield Cosmetics at Rexall drugstores everywhere. Good health to all from Rexall. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and was written by Blake Edwards with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. Dick Powell directed the RKO production Split Second, which is now in release, and his latest film appearance was in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer award-winning The Bad and the Beautiful. Heard in tonight's cast were Arthur Q. Bryan, Wilms Herbert, Ben Wright, Jack Crucian, Virginia Gregg, Don Diamond, and Lillian Byatt. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bill Foreman inviting you to be with us next Sunday at this time when Rexall Drug Products again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Remember, for new and better health aids, for bigger and more useful bargains, check Rexall's sensational two-page ad in next week's issues of Life, Look, Collier's, the Saturday Evening Post, and in the Farm Journal. You can know better health. You can save money.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections this time. You can find more from Let George Do It, Richard Diamond, past episodes of this show, and all the other shows at relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this and all the shows would like to help out, click on that. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.